What's going on, everybody? Welcome to our downtown studios. This is Five Rounds Today. I'm John Ramtein. He is Robin Black. And, of course, we have a ton of news to talk about. UFC 205 quickly approaching. Of course, Conor McGregor taking on Eddie Alvarez in the main event the week before that. RDA taking on Tony Ferguson. But we got to talk about some of the things that are going on in the mixed martial arts landscape, the UFC landscape. One of the things you and I were just talking about, UFC 205, people are calling it the greatest card ever. UFC 207, massive card, the return of Ronda Rousey, having the opportunity to reclaim her 135-pound championship, taking on the champion Amanda Nunes. And then they throw in Dominic Cruz versus Cody Garbrandt. You got the many people consider to be the pound-for-pound best and one of the most brilliant minds in mixed martial arts, and Dominic Cruz, the fight analyst, taking on this maybe the future of the division, the neck tattoos guy, mobility, boxing, marketability, has all the makings of being a star. On top of that, you get the rematch between Cain Velasquez and Fabricio Werdum. So if you're watching 207, you're thrilled. Those three fights alone, you got two title fights and a heavyweight fight that could have title implications. Yeah. UFC 205, as I mentioned, Donald Cerrone on the card, Chris Weidman on the card, like Frankie Edgar. It just goes on and on. Three title fights, a four-hour pay-per-view. Fans are satisfied. In between that, you have UFC 206 that's going down like 10 minutes away from here at the Air Canada Center. Sensational main event. Daniel Cormier looking to defend his title against Anthony Rumble Johnson. Again, I don't know if it's a co-feature, but I think for our money, Du Ho Choi taking on Cub Swanson. Outstanding. Yeah. Our boy Zach McCoskey taking on the uber-tough John Moraga.
That's a great fight.
Thrilling fight so far. But the fans, if you go online, you see some of the things. Boycott UFC 206 because it is lacking what many people consider to be star power. Now, again, I think Daniel Cormier is a star.
Light heavyweight champion of the world.
Anthony Johnson's a star. Cub Swanson was a star in the WEC. Has the potential to be a huge star in the UFC based on his power. I think the Du Ho Choi is probably going to be a massive star at one point based on what we've seen already. You and I have had a chance to call his fights before he went to the UFC. So why are people so mad?
First world problems.
First world problems.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We want George is what people are saying. And I see this headline right now. While Michael Bisping agrees to fight George St. Pierre at UFC 206, Dana White shoots fight down.
Yeah. I mean, we get distracted by a lot of things, I realized. We were talking about this morning. It's normal. You go and you want to work on something. You want to really put your attention deeply focus your attention. And then your Twitter pops up and there's a little one or two. I'm going to go click on that. You've got your two emails open. You got whatever, your website. I like Bloody Elbow. I don't know why. Yep. Not all of it. to be honest,
you just pick and choose. Yeah. You have your people that you rely on.
And to be honest, I've closed a lot of those on a regular basis. I'll pop up to that one because I like Steffi. A couple of the long form things and stuff. But I started closing almost all of them now because we're talking about all of these distractions so often. And the distraction itself on your computer is all the open things. And then when you click on one of them, they're talking about distractions. Is Bellator going to, World Series of Fighting has a law thing over here. And then George says this. And now I know his lawyer's name. And Dana said that. And suddenly I realized, oh my God, I haven't watched a fight all day. I've been like, to me, we are just getting so incredibly.
So you're consuming the narrative of mixed martial arts opposed to the techniques and the philosophies of the in-cage combat.
But this is happening in everything.
Yeah.
You see a debate on TV between two politicians and nobody, when they come out of it, oh, he said this about her and then she gave him that look and then this thing. What about the actual root of what they're talking about? Mm-hmm. We are a distracted culture like crazy. And because of that, I mean, when you go and you look at Netflix, people will spend 2 hours navigating Netflix.
That's been me.
Yeah.
You
could have watched a movie in that time.
I hate that.
You know what I mean? And
I think one of the reasons why is because you want to make sure that choice is the right choice because you have – I mean, for a lot of us, we have such limited time to spend, being entertained by Netflix. So it's like, okay, is this the right choice? Oh, am I in the right frame of mind to watch this? I need to consume this, but I want to be entertained, but I want information.
It's option paralysis.
Yeah.
And we're all doing it. Because the truth of the matter is, and remember how Dana was
That's why you, when you say sorry to cut you off, f*** it and go to the gym. That's what you got to do.
For sure.
You just got to leave. Yeah. If you're having a hard time trying to find stuff to be entertained, put your focus somewhere else.
Yeah, for sure. And even our distraction of complaining and freaking out, I can't believe this person did that, or, oh my God, boycott the UFC. It's a privilege to have such an incredible life that – being unsure if whether you're getting the fight card you deserve is your problem enough that you'll protest or freak out, you have an incredible life. Yeah. You have an incredible, incredible life. And remember, Dana would just be like, don't watch it.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, wow, dude, like, you know.
What if this is the release for people, though?
Well, I mean, the release at one time was you'd watch football.
Yeah.
And you'd cheer for your team and you'd be drawn into the game. Now it would be like, who's traded what? And you can do whatever you want. But when Dana would be like, so don't watch it. The logic of that is I can't. You got 16 hours in a day that you can do stuff. And how much of it can I dedicate to, you know, dealing with people who aren't. You can go and go, my ticket costs $200. I look at this and go, that's worth it. I'm going to do it. Or you can look at it and go, yeah, I don't think I want to go to that.
No, but it's, I don't think it's like, that simple. It's like you get the announcement, you check your yet Twitter, and the UFC's coming to Toronto this summer. Oh, my God, I can't wait to go to this show. Oh, who's going to be – George is going to be in the card for sure. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be George. Yeah. It's going to be George versus Nick Diaz. Yeah. Or it's going to be – so you're all so excited. Yeah. And so, oh, my God, they released Daniel Cormier versus Anthony Johnson. Yeah. I know this is going to be a huge fight card. They announced the New York card. It's like, have you seen that card? Yeah. This comes right after that card. It's going to be huge. And it's like – like, okay, you start seeing these fights. Okay, well, where's George? Where's Anderson? Where are all these big stars? And it's like, okay, you're letting me down. I want to support that, but I'm just not getting the reciprocation in terms of here's my commitment. Where's the UFC's commitment to me, the Toronto fan?
And if you really are that center, if this is your thing, you're going to go.
Yeah, you're going to go.
You're going to go.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to go. And complaining is something we're all free to do. I mean, if our life is, again, so good that, you know, I got nine really good restaurants close to my house.
Yeah.
If I wanted to go to one of them and it was closed and I was really upset about it, I'm free to do that if I want. Sometimes I'm out with my wife and we'll be doing something cool. We're in a bar near our and she, while we're there, she'll be like, we should do this more. Why do we not? You know, we're doing it right now. Like, but we have so many options. We have our lives are – we have the best lives that have ever been lived in humankind.
Yeah.
If you look – I mean, never mind just you can pull up porn whenever you want. You know, or never mind every type of food is wherever you want it. Or all – if your biggest problem in the world is that your favorite kind of entertainment, somehow you had anticipated it would be some other thing, but it's this, you got a killer life. And if it's so good that you are free to complain, your life is even better. You know what I mean? Like, we get tangled up in things. You don't want
to. Or there's some people that are like, no, my life sucks, and I was really looking forward to a killer card to, you know, lead me away from all the distractions of my life, and I was shafted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's your perspective. You can take it if you like. I mean, you don't have to go. And I understand that more now than ever. It's like, would it be really cool if George was on there? It would. But is he probably – and even like the distraction, why do I know George's lawyer's name?
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with fighting for me. That has nothing to do with it. But then the nature of media now is so distracted that the coverage becomes coverage about who said what and what – like Halleck Gracie and Henner Gracie. Like why is anybody – why would anybody report on that? Like these guys – because it's conflict. It's not because it's Metamoris. It's not because it's the Gracie family. It's just people.
It's two brothers that are – there's a nugget there. Yeah. And, oh, this brother's not supporting that brother. Yeah. Oh, so we need to know because there's some sort of conflict. So,
exactly. Conflict. And conflict is a fight between two elite martial artists for 15 of 17 minutes. That's what we're there to see. But instead, oh, this guy said this thing. Did you hear what he said about that guy? And hey, you know, I hear this guy said about you. How did you feel? That to me is just so distracting. And people will often say, well, you know, when we tell these stories and we show people, you know, the bottle throwing incident or, you know, we show people these Twitter beefs, it's good for the sport. It's not.
Yeah, I agree.
It's
not.
It's short term. It's shallow. It's the long play is concentrate on the sport itself. But you don't want to go to UFC 206. Don't go.
But you've seen the way – when we talk about the media, and you and I have gone to a number of UFC events where we're in the back and we're watching because we don't have a seat cage side. So we're stuck in the back with the rest of the media because it's like your media, you're lumped into the same group with the rest of the media. How often when you look around the room and that screen is on playing fights – what percent of the media is actually consuming? Because every time I look around,
5%.
5%. You and I, and there's a couple of others.
Richard Hunter's out there from Vegas, and there'll be one or two.
We're watching the fights. These guys, the knockout happens. What happened? What time was the knockout? And they type in the knockout. Yeah, and it's like, wait.
But media itself is weird. Like, you know, you cover, oh my God, the Donald's hair was like this. That's not what we're supposed to be talking about. But anyways, like I digress. But if the people who tell the stories don't care about the thing, they care about the conflict, they care about the talking, they don't want to analyze the fighting because they don't care.
Aren't they catering to their audience, though?
Well, the audience becomes them. Demetrius Johnson, man, how come the audience can't get behind you? We watched 18 in a row ask him that, and then all 18 ran out to type it, which in and of itself – is a terrible job because if 17 other people have your story, it's pointless. You are now 1/18. Your job is to have something to tell a story or to share some information. Even if you don't see your job as going out and showing, you know, fighting itself, your job is still to go out and bring something. If 18 of you have it, you're not doing your job. Also, if 18 of you say it, the next 36 who are lower than you on the scale, they'll parrot it. And so it's just what it is. And so is UFC 206 a bad card? If you think it is, it is. And if you think it is, don't go to it. You don't have to go. No one's going to make you go. And if you look at it and go, wow, the light heavyweight championship of the world, two of the craziest 145ers that are on a different level and have never – we don't see these guys who are this kind of fighter face each other. Yeah. We see Wonderboy face a boxer wrestler. We see Conor McGregor face all kinds of boxers or Thai boxers.
Let me cut you off. We got to take a break. Let's talk about the reasons why we should watch UFC 206. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk about the show that's going down in Toronto on December 10th.
11th.
11th?
10th.
11th. The Saturday. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. Ramdean and Black chatting about UFC 206 going down December 12th in Toronto at the Air Canada Center. The light heavyweight championship. I think it's the 12th.
Okay.
I could probably, here's Daniel Cormier, so we'll be able to bring it up.
Okay.
We got to talk about some of the reasons because these are the shows that so often, and the same thing can be said about New York, where fans get so excited about these matchups because you imagine what's going to happen inside of the cage.
I don't know if a lot of the – some are, but some are just like, oh, my God, a big name value. Because honestly, George was never the most exciting fighter in the realm of what people call exciting.
But he's exciting because he's a winner.
Yeah,
though.
We loved the way he fought and how smart it was. And I'm excited by that. But by what people define as exciting fighters – George is
or
not,
huge names.
Yeah, but huge name.
Yeah.
George, a huge name. Yeah. George, a superstar. My God, George is back. But if you look at George, any four or five of George's fights, take that out of it and ask these people who do define fights as exciting or boring and take away the superstar and ask me, hey, what do you
I've
think
said
of this
that.
Fight?
I've said that. Yeah. I've said that. I'm like, what do you like about George? And they're like, well, he wins.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, that's a
that
good
is
reason.
Legit.
I said, well,
what do you like about his wins?
And he's like, oh, well, he's dominant. And it's like,
that's also true.
So,
but even before we get into that, that's another thing that connects to what I was saying. Listen, again, I am not some reasons we might enjoy this card, but I don't want to convince anybody to go watch something they don't want to watch.
Oh, of course.
So I do not on any level want to do that. So if you don't want to watch it, like, don't go see it.
Yeah.
When we look at the whys, we were talking about how messages get sent. Wow, this is boring. oh man, Daniel Cormier's no good. Like, or whatever, whatever weird things people parrot and put out there. Exciting or not exciting? That one, to me, I don't understand at all. I do not understand
you,
that.
You don't understand how a guy like who? Let's just say.
Is Damian Maia exciting?
I think so because he finishes guys. And he does things to people that, especially when you hear the narrative, you and I talk about how awesome Gunnar Nelson is on the ground. John Anik and Brian Stann and Dominic Cruz talk about how legitimate of a jiu-jitsu game Gunnar Nelson has. And then Damian Maia makes him look like he doesn't know jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So I think when you see that, it's like, okay, we all know how tough Matt Brown is, but you got to really take Matt Brown out.
But it's weird, though, to me, because that same thing, you will see that kind of performance, but sort of more wrestling-based or cage-based or whatever, dominant. Own it, you know, 30-27 and more. And yet, or even somebody does jiu-jitsu but isn't Damian Maia and is on someone's back for like 14 and a half minutes, and people say it's boring. And I don't understand. Like, to me, also, sometimes people are like, this is when I have freaked out on the odd time, and where I'll wake up on a Sunday and I'm tired or hungover, and this is my mistake. This is why I don't go to these sites very much anymore. And it'll say, you know, post-fight analysis. And then I'll click on it, and it'll be like, well, you know, UFC 192 was a lackluster event that, you know, was pretty boring and didn't feature any finishes. That's not analysis. That was what you experienced. And that's not analysis.
Yeah.
Analysis isn't, it was boring. Like, that's not even a thing. Like, that's a perspective. A perspective that may be entirely different from than somebody else. If you instead wrote UFC 192, I'll tell you what I thought of it as far as its entertainment value, and somebody wanted to read that, for sure they can read that. But that isn't, you haven't analyzed the card. You've told me you were bored by it, and there are thousands of reasons that could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So anyways, this ties back to George. Well, boycott it. Those same people, if it wasn't George, would say George is boring.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I
this
do.
Is all perspective. But why is this even a conversation? Because if you're trying to be self-aware, you can apply this to everything. Oh, man, my boss is a jerk. Is he? Maybe. But you could also overreact to things that he does. Oh, man, my wife was being a real bitch today. Was she? Or did she do something normal and you're tired and whatever?
I mean,
your perspective is everything. Again, you don't. If after trying to examine this, you look at UFC 206 or any other thing and go, man, no, I tried, but I still think this sucks. Don't go to it.
Don't go. But at the same time, you have to be objective. And when you're talking about some of the most exciting fighters in the UFC's roster, I'm sure Conor McGregor's on that list. Cowboy Cerrone's probably on that list. Robbie Lawler's probably on that list. And 100% Anthony Rumble Johnson is on that list, probably at the top of the list.
That's true.
What do the casual fans want?
True.
We don't want any of this ground stuff.
Okay. Unless it's Damian Maia, unless it's some Damian reason, or George.
Exactly. Sure. Nah, but even still, it's like we want George, as if he's taking him down and letting him get back up and taking him down explosively again. Rumble hunts you down, traps you, and knocks you out as fast as he possibly can. We saw what happened when he laid his right hand on Daniel Cormier. He was basically flattened. So when I look at that, okay, this certainly appeals to the casual fans and the hardcore fans because it's an important matchup, and it's a matchup involving one of the most exciting fighters on the roster. And you can think one of the reasons why I like it. It's because there's so many possibilities.
Yeah.
There's so many different ways for Daniel Cormier to win. Yeah. I'm sure there are a bunch of different ways for
Rumble. But they're all kind of similar, which is pretty cool.
So when you look at that, and then you just go down the chart, down the card. Chad Laprise, if you're a martial arts fan, you are going to love what Chad Laprise brings to the table. You go all the way down, John McDessie, traditional martial artist that's made that move to the well-rounded mixed martial arts game, taking on Lando Venata, who we saw take on Tony Ferguson in his UFC debut and give Ferguson hell in that fight. Now how is he going to be? The second time under the bright lights, probably going to be a little more comfortable, be able to play his game, manage his energy. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a hell of a fight between John McDessie and Lando Venata, and then you just keep going through
so
that.
So what is it then we're actually missing? If we look and Cobb and that
exactly
and that, the kid
Makovsky and Moraga.
So what is it we're missing? We're missing
star power.
No. What is that?
Yeah.
Why does that have to do with martial arts? I get it. I mean, because, you know, I just answered my own question in my head. I did. And in support of that, of why I would want star power if I'm somebody. And that is, we can take an amazing, amazingly talented band and put them on stage at the Molson Amphitheater,
yeah,
and we won't go. But if it was – and I mean, they're better than the Foo Fighters.
Sure.
But then we'll go to the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
You know, we will. And there's something to that. There's a – we develop connections with these people over time. So I think I'm answering my own question here as to why – You know, there would be a passionate, we need George or we'll boycott. The connection that Canadians have made to him over time as a hero, mm-hmm, as a fighting hero. So I get that. You know, I've thought myself into getting that.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, talk more about UFC 206, and of course talk about UFC 205 and the fight card going down in Mexico City with RDA and Tony. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. Ramdeen and Black with you, chatting about UFC 206, headlined by Daniel Cormier and Anthony Rumble Johnson. We were talking about the fact that because George St. Pierre, this fighting icon, yeah, not a part of the card, that fans are a little bit disappointed. Now, is there something the UFC could do? Because apparently we were talking about Michael Bisping challenging George St. Pierre. Dana White says, no, that fight's not happening. The fans are disappointed because the negotiations, mm-hmm, between George and the UFC have fallen apart. Is there anything the UFC can do that can, you know, make fans excited about this fight card?
You know, so Michael Bisping saying, George, sign the thing.
Yeah.
I want to be on it.
Yeah.
And we've also heard rumors of Nick Diaz.
Yeah.
How about Nick Diaz and
Michael Bisping?
I mean, I don't care if it's a belt or not.
Who cares?
Who cares? You know?
Who cares?
And people, you know, again, if your life is such that you all have the privilege of going, but Nick Diaz hasn't won any fights. You got a great life. You have the voice to have that. You have the freedom to have that. And you got a killer life if that's the case. And if you want to yell about that, cool.
Yeah.
Because on the other side, other people will be like, I don't care. Also, or don't have it for the belt. I mean, when's the last time we've seen a non-title match? That'd be super cool.
Yeah,
because
right,
if Nick Diaz won,
then you get a title match.
Exactly.
You
right?
set it so, all up.
But, I mean, I don't know why I'm on this tint today of looking at it and going, but I really have started to see that. It's like we have so much unbelievable freedom that many, and so much opportunity, and we live in safe places, a lot of us who have access to things like, you know, $200 to go to an entertainment event if we choose, that you got to be thankful. And to me, I'm always shocked when I see a place in a world where there are issues, there is oppression or racism or income inequality or all of these things, and yet you would take the time to start a petition about boycotting a fight card.
I
mean, that – again, is a wonderful freedom that you have that, but it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
If this is what you can – and I trust me, I'm the biggest – we are the biggest marks going, so we get it. But that's weird to me.
Yeah, I understand. And I think a lot of the viewers, it's like, no, this is just something we want to rant about. You know,
yeah,
we're just hoping to
that's
get –
that's what I'm saying.
You
it's
know,
free it's, to I, do I, that.
It's like, hey, I'm paying $200 for my ticket for UFC in Toronto. And the people in New York, they're also paying $200 for their ticket. And look at this card.
Yeah.
You got Conor McGregor, Eddie Alvarez, Tyron Woodley, Stephen Thompson, UNN Jacek, Carolina Kovacevic, Chris Weidman, Yoel Romero, Kelvin Gastelum, Donald Cerrone, Misha Tate, Rocky Pennington, Frankie Edgar, Jeremy Stevens, Khabib versus Michael Johnson, Rashad Evans, Tim Kennedy, Rafael Nadal, Tim Boach, Jim Miller, Thiago Alves, and a couple other fights.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right. Yes.
So it's
yes,
like,
I do.
We're both paying the same.
Yeah.
You're going to New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to Toronto. I'm getting f***ed.
I'm having a hard time arguing with you on this one.
You know,
I mean, when you list it like that, that is pretty out of control. But again, I have the freedom to not go. But the thing is, I'm going to go.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I'm just going to go. Like, you're right. we both buy chocolate bars,
yeah.
but I get like one that's yeah. not full size.
Exactly.
You know?
You get a mini one, yeah. and I get one full of nuts and fruit.
Exactly. Or that those ones that are made with that cooking chocolate. You know, like, it's like, yeah, it's still chocolate. I like chocolate. That's true. I definitely see the point. I definitely do.
So let's talk about this, Kurt.
Yeah.
We've spent enough
yes.
time. And, hey, UFC 206, there's also it's also rumored that it's the return of Jordan Meehan. So,
yeah, that's pretty good.
And Mitch Gagnon is supposed to be on the card
yes,
as well.
Yes,
so
true.
It's
yeah. –
I mean, I think fans are – you know, you can say the, not go if you don't want to spend
for
your
sure.
money. Spend your money. If you want to go see quality mixed martial arts, go to UFC 206.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you're going to be entertained.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure too. Also, we will compare – this card to like what New York is getting.
Yeah, yeah.
But
what
you could also do, because this is something we're also free to do, we have control over our own perspective on everything. We can compare it to the card that we got last month in Toronto or the card that we got in the summer in Toronto or the card that we
–
no
yeah.
card.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah,
know
yeah,
what I mean?
No card, yeah.
We had no card. We had no fights. So – but – again, I'm not here to convince anybody to go to something they don't want to go.
So when I rhymed off all those fights, clearly Connor and Eddie is
yeah.
the most intriguing one. Outside of that, is there a particular fight that you're like, whoa, I have no idea how that's going to
yeah,
play
like
out.
Yeah, like eight of them.
Yeah. When
you know?
One of mine is Yoel Romero and Chris Weidman. Now, we believe that Chris Weidman is the more technical fighter. He's mentally possibly the stronger of the two. That's because I think we have a little affiliation
yeah.
with
yes.
Chris. We
yeah,
know
you get,
Chris.
You get influenced by
because
that.
Of stuff like that. But Yoel Romero's no friggin' joke, man. Like, this guy, you know, I didn't think he beat Jacare. But right now, when you look at the top 85ers, and I'll put Gegard Mousasi in there as well, but Jacare, Luke Rockhold, and Yoel Romero and Chris Weidman seem to be the four best.
Yeah.
And then you have
and
Gegard Mousasi.
And we even put him ahead in a lot of ways of the champion.
Of the champion, Michael Bisping.
Michael Bisping. Yeah. Although,
I know.
Like crazy.
100%. I was talking yeah. to my coach, one of your coaches in the past, Kareem, about it last night. He goes, I just love Michael Bisping. But there's people just hate him for some reason.
That's okay. That's good.
Is
people
it?
Hate Connor a lot, too. Now, and that's good, man. Like, when you see, when you know, tweet
it's good for them, for their yeah. pocketbooks, because
yeah.
it creates interest.
Yeah.
But why can't those same people be appreciators of the fact, you know what? He's fought everybody. He always comes to fight. He always comes to entertain. He, win or lose, you walk away going, oh, I'm so
yeah.
thrilled that guy got
yeah.
knocked out.
Exactly.
Or it's like, oh,
that's,
man,
but they,
he just keeps
if you
winning.
Want, if you're motivated by, like, a little bit of grumpiness or like, you know, you like that, then you can hate that guy. You're, again, like, go do it. I talked to Dan Hardy when we were breaking Connor down, and he was like, it'll take a while until people understand just how truly – what a special fighter, one of the – one you know, of this generation, one of the great martial artists of this generation. He said that to me. That's his belief. And people said, why is Dan Hardy on his nuts? You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
They didn't say – although I hate this guy,
maybe there's
this
something to
person
it, yeah.
with high expertise has dedicated their life to fighting, fought the George
the
St. Pierre, has dedicated his life now to, you know, trying to learn and study the martial arts. He says this guy's that great. Okay, fine, he's that great, but I still hate him. That would be an
yeah,
that would
yeah,
be a
yeah.
logical reaction. But why is Dan Hardy on his nuts? Isn't logical. You're denouncing because of your hatred of him. You are unwilling to accept the expertise of this high level
yeah.
expert who is telling you with a lifetime of study how good this guy is. You can hear that. Okay, fine, he's good, but I hate him. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But denouncing expertise due to your hatred is really, really not powerful for you as a human.
We're going to take a break. No. We're going to come back, talk more about UFC 205 and some of the incredible talent that adorns the card. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. We're talking about UFC 205. Before the break, we were talking about Conor McGregor, and he's such a polarizing figure, just like Michael Bisping.
Yeah.
You get some people that love him, some people that hate him.
The people that love and hate Conor are even more intense.
Yeah, right.
Which is what that type of special can do. If you don't understand that you having a passionate hatred for this person proves their specialness, that's, you know,
yeah. That's on you.
Yeah, it's on you. It just does. And like I was saying, it's like then about Dan Hardy and someone who like – you're just ignoring the fact that his lifetime of study makes him qualified to say how good this guy is. To which an answer is often, well, that's my opinion. 100%. But why can't you understand that your opinion and Dan Hardy's opinion are not the same?
They're not equal.
Because my opinion of how the common cold is spread is not the same as the doctor's.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, well, I don't know. Somebody sneezed on me. Next thing you knew, I had a cold. You know what I mean? It's like the doctor will be able to tell you actually what's going on. Now, I could say, to which a lot in North America more than other areas, people would be like, yeah, well, doctors don't know anything, man.
I've heard that.
They could be right on some level. He still knows more than you. Mm. Like, he went to school for 8 years, and all of it was nonsense. And every doctor that came before him was nonsense. The science of medicine is nonsense. And you, my Uber driver, you know. Like, you know, it's just so bizarre to me.
All right. I want to get back to – because we're talking about Michael Bisping, polarizing figure, and we said how we think that – even though he is the champion, that Yoel Romero, Jacare, Luke Rockhold, Chris Weidman, those are four guys that we potentially could see defeating the current champion. Possibly defeat him. And Gegard Mousasi is also a part of that mix. And when I look at UFC 205, I think that's one of the most intriguing matchups for me, Chris Weidman and Yoel Romero. What Chris Weidman are we getting back? Because remember, he had neck surgery. He really wanted to be on that card. Did he rush things because of his desire to make sure, I need to fight at Madison Square Gardens? I'm not supposed to cut corners, but I feel good.
Right after we get out of here, I'm going to send a message to Ray Longo because we've been wanting to have him back on the show. Let's try and get him next
week.
Let's try and get him next week and talk to him about it. That's valid. Remember the time that Rich Franklin lost to Anderson Silva, and it was brutal.
Oh, yeah.
And then he came back, and he beat Jason McDonald.
Yeah.
And remember how relieved – remember that look on his face?
Yeah,
you can
go
back and watch this one on Fight Pass. The fight itself is great, and McDonald was beating guys.
He
called him the athlete.
Yeah.
Super athlete and great combat sports athlete. And Rich went and beat him, and you see – and I think he might have even done that or kissed the mat. Like, you could feel it. And he carried that into the fight. He still won the fight because Rich Franklin was one of the great performers ever. One of the great, like, consistent, always on.
And mentally very, very strong.
And Weidman has always been that way.
Yeah.
I think his worst performance isn't the loss to Rockhold. I think it's the win over Vitor. I think that opened the door. That was a bad performance. And when he went back, the good of that fight was I came back, I took the thing, and I got control and I won it. You also have to assess the bad. Wow, what was I doing in that first minute?
Played Vitor's game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that I don't know that he went back and looked happy we won, happy with the result. How was the performance itself? Because it led to the Rockhold one. So and outside of those, he's been that Rich Franklin style of performer. Fights different, but has that super consistency. Always able to get the best out of himself. Mm-hmm. He's gonna need that again, and that's what as a fan, I want to see out of that fight. You want to see, Chris is back. Oh, okay, Chris Weidman. Wow, I can't wait to see him fight these other guys now. You know, you want to see that, and I don't know. That's all gonna be in there. It's all going
to
be
because you remember we talked to Chris and we love Chris. Every time I see Chris fight, I root for Chris. But and he always the one thing physically he seems awesome. He seems to be able to pick up things. His technique is nice and clean. His mobility is awesome. But there's the mental hurdles seem to be the biggest issue for Chris in the sense that because he's told us in the past, you know, during wrestling competitions. Mm-hmm. I would call myself the choke artist because I would never, you know, I would never get a chance to win the big one.
But he learned from it.
Yeah, sure. So but isn't that always still there?
It wasn't there.
With the Rockhold fight, was it not there?
I don't think so. I don't know. Yeah. The momentum went bad, and momentum's a powerful thing. It's momentum that leads you to, oh, my God, UFC 206, and then, oh, man, it's not that. Expectations and stuff. So he suffered. Once it went real bad. But he came back, and was it the fourth round? It went bad in the second or the third?
Yeah.
I think in the third, and then he came back in the fourth or the second and the third. When he came back out, he was still going for it. He just had been broken physically. But it's a good question. But he went back. Some people just ignore it. You ignore it, next time it'll be different, and next time won't be different. He embraced it, studied himself, and you talk to him, and you hear these things that people don't even pick up on, how he trains his – everything has to be a habit. You don't just try to make something good. You create a habit. It takes 66 days of repetition to create a habit. And he knows that, so he's creating these habits, including the habit to win and push yourself and perform. So he studied himself when he failed in the past, and it made him better. So that gives you evidence that he's capable of doing that with this failure to make him better again. And so that makes me think we may see that. Yoel Romero is an unreal wrestler. He became a very good striker. He's powerful. Depending on what his body looks like,
yeah.
I mean, that's a whole other conversation about Malky Kawa
when they fail
a drug test. Yeah. They all happen to find the one thing.
That's true.
And USADA's like, oh, yeah, we have tested and seen that this thing that you took contains this drug.
Yeah.
Maybe we didn't even take it. You know what I mean? We have a doctor who says this contains that.
This is the scapegoat.
It doesn't mean anything one way or the other, but we see some fighters come out these days. They don't look the same as they did.
But let's just assume that everything is on the up and up.
I hope so, because he's a killer.
Yeah, and when I look at that, it feels like, okay, we know his biggest strength. His biggest strength is his lifetime of wrestling. And it seems with that mental nugget for Chris Weidman, because he defines himself as a wrestler, you have somebody else out-wrestle you, put you on the ground. Can that not deteriorate your mental state?
You got to be ready for it. You got to know it. You got to – self-awareness, man, is like you have to study yourself, not just, well, oh, I'll be good. Don't worry. Like, Matt Brown is going to be the guy we always go back to that blew our mind – shouldn't have, but it blew our mind that he was like mental strength. It's not an attribute I just have. It's work. Mental strength is work. It's work that he does between meditation and testing himself, putting himself. It's work. And so if you put in that work, you've done that often because you've looked and gone, I failed here. It was a failure. Here's a weakness of mine. And you did the work. Guys who will admit they have a weakness can do the work. People who are like, don't worry, bro, I got this. Next time I'm in there, I'm going to kill this guy. We have a friend that cried. We were commentating his fights later that day, and he was crying at breakfast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then
– like bawling.
Bawling. And I've seen him like, Robin, bro, on Wednesday of the fight, I'm going to kill this boy. And then the day of – and then after, a week later, that guy will be like, next time, man, I got this guy.
Yeah.
He's done nothing about it. If he admitted, I broke, I was, you know, and it's not even, I was weak. You're more than 99.99% of people because you got as far as this.
Yeah.
And you're walking down there in the cage and you got to take that next step. All the people that criticize you would never go as far as, you know, week three in the gym. You know what I mean?
Okay, going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to open another pack of these cards.
That was fun.
I was so successful last week. Don't go anywhere. I'm more of 5 rounds today. Welcome back to 5 Rounds today. Ramdeen and Black with you, chatting about UFC 205 and 206. Didn't get a chance to talk about UFC 207. We're going to talk about it in the weeks to come.
Yeah.
We've decided to go back to the well and open these playing cards.
Yeah. It was fun last week.
Yeah, it was fun.
So we found this signed John Jones. It says it's number 8 of 15.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I looked on eBay, and it's worth like 100 or hundreds, and it's very rare. So we should have made a bigger deal out of it.
Didn't you say somebody in fantasy sports is a huge card fan, card collector?
Yep. Some people. So we're going to just – we only have like 7 minutes. So if we find one we think the other guy wants to talk about, Elias Theodoro.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Who's not going to be on the Toronto card, right?
No, he is not, but he's going to do some stuff at TSN.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
That's Elias. He's kicking somebody.
We have Lyoto Machida. Yeah. We have Dustin Poirier, Max Holloway, and look who it is, Conor McGregor.
Okay. Conor McGregor, he's got a 145-pound belt. We already discussed. Many hate him. Many love him, admire him. He's a very, very special martial artist, according to many. And if you say that, you're on his nuts. Chris Weidman right here.
Yeah, awesome. We're talking about Chris. That's great. What fight is that? Chris Weidman and Luke Rockhold, it looks like.
Yeah, that must have been round one.
Yeah, Zach Mikoski here is going to be on the Toronto card. You're talking about mental strength. You got Matt Brown here.
You got to put it in the camera spot. Here's one.
I'm just not convinced that this is going to be worth the same as John Jones. Andre Feely Autographed.
Autographed, well.
Autographed.
Great fighter, though.
Yeah. Jose Aldo, some sort of canvas or underwear.
I do like the shot here of Khabib, undefeated. No man has ever beaten this man in mixed martial arts competition.
Yeah.
He's got his hat on, which is apparently some type of war hat.
But I think that's one of the reasons why fans gravitate towards Khabib, because A, he has not been defeated. And it's not just that he hasn't been defeated. He has a certain look. He's, mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's all part and parcel that people can associate, just like Roy Nelson. Could he get in shape? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's in shape for what he is. Could he lose the belly? Why lose the belly?
Yeah.
You lose your his identity, which is the everyman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why a lot of fans, why they like Roy Nelson is because they believe that he just got off the couch and he went into the octagon.
Even though it's like, you know how long it took him to get a Henzo Gracie black belt?
Exactly.
How hard that guy had to work? So I got here. Congratulations.
Yeah.
This is an authentic knockout fight. Matt Relic. So part of the Matt.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's Demetrius Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Great.
One of the best fighters in the world. One of the best fighters ever. And just incredible martial artist. I also got this. I have to send it in for a knockout autograph of Paige VanZant.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I mean, she's pretty, and her autograph would probably be cool. She can fight, man.
Here's more of the fighter-worn memorabilia. It's Chris Weidman and Daniel Cormier.
Why are both of them?
Yeah, both of them together. I don't understand
Cormier was here in the studio. You guys did a chat with him. Very, very smart guy.
Yeah. Your boy Cub Swanson. There's two cards here. Eddie Alvarez and Cub Swanson.
Okay.
We'll put
amazing. Two of my very favorites.
Yeah.
What I like about Cub versus Du Ho Choi, so you got your Stephen Thompsons of the world. They're fighting different. And Conor's fighting different, too. You know, sometimes we'll get lost in the weeds. You know, oh, he slipped his head this way. This thing worked. Overhand this. A fake level change. You know, all of that matters.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting caught up in all these micro battles. And then somebody will change the game enough that make that not count. So when you're punching and kicking and then Royce Gracie comes along and takes you down and chokes you out, he just changes the game completely. The wrestlers come along, you don't know how to wrestle, they change the game completely. Much of what you do, Dominic Cruz, Connor, Cub, Stephen Thompson, they're just making a lot of it irrelevant. When Cub Swan, Du Ho Choi is of that world, we've rarely seen two of those guys fight. TJ and Cruz are different, but they have that same kind of making a lot of the old way irrelevant, and they fought each other. And Cub and Du Ho Choi will fight each other. Cub, if he's on, he's, I think, too evolved for Du Ho Choi, who's too many thousand hours past him, but it's going to be fascinating.
We would have thought that about Max Holloway, too, though,
yeah,
in his fight with Cub Swanson. Nobody done that to Cub Swanson.
You know, and that's – Max Holloway is playing those games and manipulating space and time and timing and rhythm and stuff like those guys. You could put him in that category.
He
looks different, but
do you believe because of that, when you're looking at these guys that are really unhinged and they see the matrix, that will in the future reduce the number of competitors deciding to make this their path?
Maybe so. That's a very, very astute point. Is that it's becoming more – if you can't – you learn to wrestle, you learn to box, you learn some mat work, and then you go fight. Now that won't be enough.
No, that's right.
And,
that's
you know,
what I mean.
They all become very similar. A couple of people sent me a message. I said that Jose Aldo was like Chad Mendes and like Eddie. And people were like, no, he's a Thai fighter. It's boxing, man.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Thai boxing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I do.
It's boxing with some kicks.
Yeah.
It's an old school approach. Now, all